Welcome to Money Grows on Trees.
Money does grow on trees.
A podcast full of practical, real-life money lessons that you wish you learned in school. Lloyd is a former lawyer turned lifestyle entrepreneur. In each episode, he'll be answering the tough questions around money, investing, and entrepreneurship to help you transform your money mindset and move you closer to achieving your financial goals. Now, let the class begin. Here's your host, Lloyd Ross.
All right, welcome back to the show, Money Grows on Trees podcast. My name's Lloyd Ross, and this episode is titled The Signal and the Noise. The Signal and the Noise. Super important episode for you to listen to, so I hope you enjoy it. It's funny how I start every episode with, and I'm Lloyd Ross. It's like, my name's not going to change. So it'll always be me. Anyway, before I kick off this, I would love to just let you know that we have on Spotify, you can leave us a 5-star review if you're getting value. If you get a value from any of our episodes, please share it with a friend, because we don't do any ads to this podcast. We don't have any sponsorships. We have no, you'll notice it's just me talking to you. We don't want to interrupt it with ads. So the only way for us to grow this is if you share it. So if you're getting value and you enjoy it, if you want to leave us a 5-star review on Spotify, it's a simple click of the button, and share it with a friend. That would do me a huge favor to grow and expand this show so that we can help people improve their financial IQ, right? And get their money under control in all areas, right? Investing, entrepreneurship, and money. So what do I mean by the signal and the noise? This is going to be a fun episode because this is based on an email I got from one of our readers of our book, Money Buys Happiness. Okay. So if you want to get the book, Phil usually puts it in the notes, in the show notes. It's my latest book. Although I'm writing another book that will be hopefully released this year, called Time Rich, which you're going to love. And so, but before then, the current book is Money Buys Happiness. This particular episode came from an email from one of my readers. So, I'll tell you what we could do. We could play with this. So if you're listening to the show and you have any questions or queries or you have confusion and stuff like that, I would definitely welcome an email from you, because I can craft episodes based on those emails from my listeners, which is you guys. So I'd love to make sure I'm delivering maximum value here on the show. So if you want to, I'll tell you what you can email me in with your questions and ideas and concerns and things you want to learn to lloyd@lloydjross.online. Okay, so lloyd@lloydjross.online. So that'll come to me, and that's our company's email. And so when you send it, I can do an episode. And I think this is what I love about this one, because this initiates this particular episode name. So this particular reader of my book says, Lloyd, I'm a little bit concerned about what's happening with the world, you know, debt levels of Western countries, what will happen to markets over the next 5 to 10 years. AI is making its way through many things. Seems like things are changing rapidly. You know, it's all uncertain out there. And what else? He says that, you know, how will things look in the future? The growth and decline of world superpowers such as the USA and China, and the conflict that that may bring. And what if the Aussie dollar takes a hit and tanks? But then goes on to say, you know, probably overthinking things, but there's a lot of variables to consider when it comes to my money and what to do and how to move forward financially. So, you know, the finisher is there always a good market to invest in? You know, is there a good time? Is there, you know, when am I going to get more certainty? And there's a lot to that email, right? But I think it's so pertinent to how people are thinking about money and the economy and what they should do. So when I say the signal and the noise, there's a lot of news out there, and people are led by news, and that's the noise. It's very noisy out there, because the news is going to give you all the bad stuff that's happening, because it's what sells news. It's the drama hook that sells news and newspapers and clickbait and so forth. So you only ever get the bad stuff. And so that's noisy as ever. And so it feels super uncertain out there. It feels like it's chaos, and it's like the most confusing time to ever live in history. And it isn't. We have got it pretty good compared to those who went through World War I, World War II, the Great Depression, the various Gulf Wars, Korean War, Vietnam War. There's always been global conflict. And I think now with social media, it's just become more prevalent. You see a lot more stuff, but it doesn't mean it's more present than it ever was. But I will say this, we do live in fast changing times, and that's also never not been the case. You know, there's this thing called Moore's Law. And if you go and research it, Moore's Law is where computer power doubles every 18 months. So the world speeds up essentially by double every 18 months. And that's why things feel like they're going fast. Yeah, things are getting faster and faster, and the things we have to learn and keep up with. That's why, because Moore's Law is actually a proven law. And so now with AI, it's like it's going to it's going to exponentially increase now. Probably, I don't know if it's going to be faster, but there's a lot of rapid change happening. Okay, so I get that people would be super concerned and worried about their finances and their investments and all that sort of stuff. But I want you to know that most of it's noise. Okay, so here's how I address it in my own head to give you an indication. Firstly, I only focus on things I can control. I can't control the macro economy. I can't control the conflict between China and the USA. I can't control the foreign exchange rates and the Australian dollar strength, and I can't control interest rates, and I can't control the rapid change of AI. I can't control any of that. That will run its own course. So I don't try and control it or worry about it. I focus on things I can control. What I can control is this. I can control elements of my own business. I can control my own learning. I can control my spending. I can control the types of investments I decide to put money in. I can control the level of my thinking about the probabilities of things happening in the world and steering clear of them, things that I think will happen where it will kill us, and I just avoid those places. So I can do some critical thinking. I can expend energy and action in businesses. I can be good to people and influence. I can provide value to the world. I can do all those things. So that's the areas I can control, and I focus on those things, and I look for signals, not noise. So I don't worry about the noisy stuff in the news. If anything, I use it to my advantage if I ever can. So for example, during COVID, all that was this noise and noise of negativity of this virus that was going around, right? This coronavirus. So I'm like, well, it's dropped a lot of companies and I can buy them for cheaper. So I'll deploy the capital while everyone else is bailing out. And so that made a lot of sense to invest back then. So that's where you can use it to your advantage, okay? But other than that, you don't want to listen to Mr. Market. You don't want to listen to the news. You don't really want to listen to the noise. The signal is, well, I live in Australia presently, and what I can control is that where I live, so that's effective. And I know here I can control where I live in terms of my rent, manage my costs. I can control certain levels of my business. So I look for signals around those areas of what can I control with my expenses. I can do my audits every month, and I can save up money, and I can deploy that into assets I understand that really have no... they don't really matter long-term based on certain things that will happen. And so I also know this. Number one, the US reserve currency is not going to change. That much. If you do enough research, you realize this is impossible to dislodge. They're just not going to do it. So in our lifetime and the next 2, 3, 4 generations, it's probably going to be still a US dollar. Okay. And the world superpower of the United States, they need China as much as China needs them, because China owns all the US treasuries bonds. Well, not all of them. But China owns a large percentage of US debt. So the US was to default, that would hurt China too. So they both need each other mutually. And so because of that, there's no incentive to go to conflict. Like, it doesn't serve anyone. It's a lose-lose outcome. And both those superpowers are not going to go and attempt a lose-lose outcome. Okay. So the United States is not going to go down without a fight. It's still the biggest power and biggest economy, biggest military. And China is a growing economy, which is fantastic, okay? But they're both helping each other. So I don't think it'll come to conflict, okay? But even if it did, the assets we own will not be too materially affected long-term. So short-term, sure. But we don't invest for short-term. We invest long-term, okay? So we've got a certain amount of diversification in our assets. We know that they're global businesses, and we have certain amounts of cash. It's like... and we live in Australia. So it's like a long way away from the conflict. So there's all those elements I can control that I think of, but I don't think it's going to happen. So don't worry about it. I don't think the US currency is going to lose its reserve status power. Do I think the world's in too much debt? Yes, but I think also that they know that. And so there's not a huge risk because they're aware. If people were unaware of what's happening in the debt burden in the United States with trillions of dollars and in Australia and other places, sure, I'd be concerned, but they know about it. And they can actually print their way out of it for now, and they can actually earn their way out of it if they've got good steerage of the actual country, which hopefully they'll get. Now, if not, okay, the businesses that we own are so important to the United States, and they're so important to the world, that the world will still need them. So even if there is conflict or there is a default or whatever, they'll still need to move goods. People will still go to work. People will still need to do things. Even during the Great Depression, just so you know the statistics, there was 25 to 29% unemployment rate. So there was still 75% of people going to work, making money. The economy didn't stop. It just slowed right down. And then it sped back up again after. So you'll have to understand, like, learning a history of markets and what happened. A history lesson is one of the most effective ways of fortifying your future and not worrying as much, because you know that based on the past, we've been through much harder things and much tougher things as a society, and we've gotten through them. And so I don't see any difference right now to what the world has experienced in the past. It's like what Jim Rohn says. He says, you know, the future will be much like the past. It'll be opportunity met with challenge, or challenges met with opportunity. That's it. You know, the past was challenges met with opportunity, and the future will be challenges met with opportunity. That's it. There will always be challenges. There will always be opportunities. It's just about how you set your sail and your attitude approaching life going forward and focusing on the things you can control and not focusing on the things you can't, okay? And so I don't think too much about what if, but I know also we've planned for if the worst case happened, we'd still be okay because the world's still going to need banks. You know, the world's still going to need rail. The world's still going to need insurance. The world's still going to need, you know, they're still going to travel. Like, you think about the assets you own, and they're still going to need real estate. So if you own real estate, of course, people are going to need shelter. So how you can fortify yourself against the noise is making sure you don't have too much debt, that you've got, you know, one or two or three income streams of some sort, and that you've got an emergency fund, and you're living in a place where there's steady politics, democracy, and healthcare, and you live in a fairly safe place. And if you do all those things, you know, you're going to be okay, okay? But when it comes to investing, if for whatever reason you're uncertain, you can quite easily, very simply, invest in like an Australian index fund to get Australian market exposure. You can invest in an index fund in China, and you can invest in an index fund in America. So all of a sudden you've got, you know, you're betting on three economies, okay? And sure, they're fairly linked in many respects, but you're betting on three economies. And so if those three economies all fail, then we're not really going to be caring about your money because we have bigger fish to fry. Like we're a lot of trouble here. Like it just won't matter at that point because the world will then, if something happened to the world, people go, oh yeah, Bitcoin will be used and blah, 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 rubbish. When the world did almost like stop with COVID, we didn't trade in Bitcoin. We traded in toilet paper, if you remember, here in Australia. So if the world is to come to an ending experience, which is so remotely ever going to happen, right? And if it does, I'm like, take me, I don't care. Like I've only got 35 years to live statistically anyway, who cares? But you have to understand that we'd go to barter. And so how your skills are deployed in the society will still matter. That's why skills are so important. Your problem-solving ability will be important. Your ability to influence other human beings will be important. Those naturally profitable skills will still be relevant, and you'll barter things you have and influence others to get the things you need. And they won't go around using gold or Bitcoin. They'll use barter, they'll use goods, they'll use problem solving, they'll use their skills, they'll use their hands, and they'll use labor and ingenuity. People will always pay for those things. They pay for problem solving. So if you just scale it right back to even the most worst case outcome from all the noise, I think, you know, if you've invested in yourself and knowledge and problem solving and so forth, you're going to be fine. But getting back to reality about your investing and so forth, if you just have your money in an index fund or a couple and you have your property you live in, it's, you know, not much debt on it, you got an emergency fund and you're living in a nice place, you're pretty well protected from any bad things happening. But we're always going to be in an uncertain world. There's always going to be noise. And so it's just you doing your research enough to know what's signal and what's noise, okay? And so I look at signals. I look at the quality companies, how they're producing profits still. You know, would they be killed? I try and kill those companies in worst case scenarios. And it's, you deploy your money there and you've got to take some level of risk, because if you don't take some risk, then that's the greatest risk of all, because then you don't grow your wealth. And that will come to bite you on the bum when you're 60s and 70s, okay? So you've got to have some risk, but just be calculated. Don't be led by the markets or the noise. Be led by your own research, your own methodical steps, and real information, not BS made up fake information on social media or the news or whatever. Don't be led by that clickbait stuff, okay? Just be led by a quality research that you do in your own time, and just worry about the things you can control, okay? There's always going to be uncertainty, but there's steps to take. You can't eliminate uncertainty, but you can certainly reduce it. And you can still do that while being super wealthy. And people like Charlie Munger and Warren Buffett have done that. And they've been great examples of how to minimize your risk and grow tremendous wealth by doing the basics well and doing it for a long period of time and avoiding places where you're going to die, okay? So hope that gives you some indication of how to approach your money life and investing life and perhaps life in general. Set your sail with a good attitude, do your research, and you'll be fine. So if you enjoyed the episode, please share it. And that came from an email from Daniel. So if you've got any questions or queries you want to do an episode, email me at lloyd@lloydjross.online, and I'll come into an episode specifically based on your questions that you send in to me. And that way I'm really helping you nail these issues and problems or obstacles, or even just ideas you might have around money, finance, and entrepreneurship. Okay. So thanks for listening in, and I'll talk to you in the next episode of Money Grows on Trees podcast.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Money Grows on Trees podcast. If you like the show, you might want to check out our book, Money Grows on Trees, which you can find at lloydjross.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, leave a review, and feel free to reach out to Lloyd on Instagram @LloydJamesRoss.